gospel. God bless you so very much. Our Bibles are open tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and we'll read just one verse here in just a moment. The book of Isaiah is more than a historical record of God's chosen people. It's also a prophetic book of judgment. At the time of Isaiah's writing here, we find to the northern kingdom has already fallen, and Judah is facing impending judgment of God because of their unbelief. Isaiah had told them that they would escape this attack, but the overthrow of the Babylonians was certain. However, we find because Babylon had not risen to power, the threat was ignored. And the last section of this great book is definitely messianic. We discover Israel's deliverance in chapter 40 through 48, and the promise of future delivering, chapter 49 through 57. By the way, Isaiah's name, if you'll write this down, actually means the salvation of Jehovah. The salvation was his great message as well. The key word is found in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse number 5. We find that salvation appears 28 times in this book, and only 7 times in all of the other prophets combined. As we come to Isaiah chapter 58, we find the response of the children of Israel, and sadly, it's not good. Well, they worshiped the Lord. They had fasted. They had kept the holy days and all the rituals, but only in pretense. The people of Israel were much like many in the church today. They were religious, but their lives were never changed. There are a lot of people that say they have religion, meaning that they believe that there is a God. They believe there's a heaven. They believe there's a hell. But many of those folk, unfortunately, have never placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We say America is a godly nation. As we look around us, there's no evidence of that at all, except a small group, a minority of people who are standing for what is right and trusting Christ as their personal Savior. We find that the world today, much like here in this day, Israel, that they desired to know God's peace. They had experienced His grace, and of course they had basked His glory, but because of sin, made up of indifference, idolatry, immorality, they were facing the judgment of God once again. May we turn, please, to our text for tonight. In Isaiah 58, verse number 11. Would you read it with me, please? Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, that thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. You'll find in this passage of Scripture that the Lord desires to lead His people. And the Lord desires to guide us and to lead us. And you'll notice the words, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. The Lord God shall guide thee continually. The Lord is the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith, meaning He is the originator of my faith. Thus, He is the concluder of my faith. I know we've said that many times, and it's worth repeating, that if God knows from the beginning to the end, He also knows those things that are in the center, in the middle, where we are now on our journey as a Christian. I'm glad that my sins are behind me, and they're under the blood, praise God. Never to be remembered against me, the Bible says, no more. And we have the hope of heaven as a child of God that stimulates our faith, knowing that all that we may face in this life is nothing compared with what we'll receive in heaven. And throughout all of eternity, to be able to praise our Savior. I look forward to that day. Would you say amen? Amen. Thankful again for the hope of heaven. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, what a promise that we have in the Word of God in John 14, verses 1 through 6. As we read this passage of Scripture tonight, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." Would you make a note? First of all, He will steer you. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." He's not pushing you. He's not shoving you. He's not pulling us along. But He said He will guide thee continually. If we expect God to direct our life, then first of all, He must have preeminence in our life. We must surrender to His presence. And we must give away to our own strength and yield to His power in our life. It's about giving ourselves completely to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 5 says, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself unto the Lord?" Understanding of that day of yielding completely to the Lord, God desires to have all of you. God wants all of me. He wants all of us to surrender to Him completely. God will guide you. God will steer you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we all know the verse when he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him," and what? "He shall direct thy paths." David writes in Psalm 37 and verse 8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee the way which thou shalt go." And the Lord says, "I will guide thee with mine eye." A beautiful psalm is Psalm 37. Would you turn there with me? The 37th psalm. David is writing a wonderful passage of Scripture. And you'll find down in verse number 23 these words. When you think about the Lord guiding us, and the Bible says the steps of a good man, in verse 23, are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. "I've been young," David said, "and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." The steps of a good man. Did you ever think about the number of steps that you make every day of your life? They tell us that the average man would walk 3,000 steps every day. Now, many of you have your Apple Watch, and it tells you exactly how many steps you have and what all is going on and how many calories that you're burning and all of that. Look, I'm too busy to start counting how many steps. I get tired just not knowing how much I've gone all day. And if I'm counting my steps, I would be a lot. Is tartar a word? Tartar. I'd be a lot tartar. Look. The steps, though, of a good man, every step that we take, God knows exactly where we are. And the Bible says that He will guide us continually. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Oh, I love the 23rd Psalm. We've been studying the 23rd Psalm in our Sunday school class here in the adult class. We just finished our Bible study. Look, would you please, in the 23rd Psalm, and if you know the Psalm, let's read it together. You'll notice what the Bible says. And David writing now as an old man, looking back over his life as a shepherd boy, and he proclaims clearly, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says in this passage of scripture, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord says that he will guide us. David said, he's my shepherd. He guides me along the way. Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. The Lord's promised here in our text, not only to guide us, but as you go back to our text, Isaiah 58 and verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. The Lord wants to not only steer us, guide us, but he desires to satisfy us. It's about resting completely in the Lord. If you hold your place there in the Psalm 37, we'll go back there one more time and look at what David is saying in this text. Knowing that the Lord desires to satisfy us. As a matter of fact, David said on one occasion, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. But look in Psalm again, 37, and verse number 1 will begin down through verse 11. And notice these action verbs. He says, fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Notice, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Notice the next one. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And then notice verse 7. Let's read it together. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then he says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You ought to mark those action verbs. When he reminds us here that if we'll just lean not into thine own understanding in all thy ways, that we trust the Lord, let him guide us. He knows exactly how to steer us, and he also knows how to satisfy us as we lean completely upon the Lord. In the Beatitudes, the Lord reminds us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord's promised us that he would guide us. He will steer us along the way. I'm reminded so often, and I mentioned this the other night, we were at a preacher's meeting on Tuesday night, a fellowship meeting down in Ashland, Kentucky area, and some old stopping grounds for myself as a young kid, and a preacher's meeting. And I shared with them of oftentimes we just want to be in control of it all. But the Lord desires to steer us. And I never will forget, and of course we've been here long enough that we still call out there coming down from Walmart, or as we say here in West Virginia, out Walmarts. And when out here on the 1921 bypass, which is Eisenhower Drive, it's surely not any bypass whatsoever. But I remember years ago, us coming down the road, Marsha and I, and she was driving. I'm not sure why she was driving, but she was driving. And I'm pretty calm when she's driving, but on that particular day, I saw a car coming at us across the lane. And I just reached over impulsively, from the passenger seat and grabbed the steering wheel to steer her off the road. You know what's coming, don't you? You know exactly what's coming. I mean, just impulsively, I did that without any thinking whatsoever. No thought whatsoever. I grabbed the steering wheel, and she went off the road, and she grabbed the steering wheel back. She did this and put her knuckles on it. She said, "Buster!" I mean, she knows my name. There was no Roger, no honey, no sweetie pie. "Buster, I'm driving." "Yes, ma'am. And if you want to drive, I'll pull off the road and let you drive. When I'm driving, I've got a hold of the steering wheel." Okay, I got it. Now, I know some of you men have never done anything like that at all. But I tell you something we all have done. We've said to the Lord, "I'm giving you this burden. I'm giving you this decision. I'm asking you to lead me. I'm asking you again to help me as I go this way. I want to trust you, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And then what do? We grab it back. It's a wonder the Lord wouldn't look to us and say, "Buster!" But the Lord graciously just continues to guide us and direct us. And sometimes when we get our own way of steering the wrong way, we don't find satisfaction, but we find more trouble. And we find some difficulties in our life. Oh, the choices that we make in our life. I like to play golf. I'm not very good. I talked to a preacher friend the other day. He said, when he comes to town, he said, "I'd like to play with you. Would you be willing to play?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm not very good." And I told him, I said, "Well, I like to shoot in the 70s and 80s. And if it gets any hotter than that, I don't like to play." But understand this. In golf, one good thing with it, you get mulligans. You know what a mulligan is? It's a do-over. You get a do-over. Now, when Scott and I play together, that's two preachers playing together, you should see our scorecard. I mean, seriously. You know, how many mulligans do you get? I think it's okay to get 18 a round. It's okay. You get a mulligan every hole. But with the Lord, we don't get a mulligan. And there's some things that I like to do over, wouldn't you? But the Lord promises us, He says, I want to guide you. I want to steer you in your life as you yield to me completely. And He says, in doing so, that you'll find this satisfaction, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And the Lord desires to do this. But notice our text, as we notice in Isaiah once again, He says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought." And then He says, "And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden." I want you to know, when He says, "Make thy bones fat, make fat thy bones," He's talking about strengthening us. As we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Lord desires that we would be strengthened in our journey. There are some things that God allows us to go through that we learn from. There are some things that all of us have gone through in recent days, and knowing just how to trust the Lord completely, and knowing that He doth all things well. God's in control. And may I say, our faith is strengthened when we look back and see how God has brought us through some things in our life. And the Lord wants to strengthen the youngest to the oldest person in this room. God desires to strengthen us as we yield to Him completely. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Oh, aren't you thankful that He can satisfy the soul even in the midst of the storm? He can give a calm. And hear Him say, "Peace, be still." As He said there to the disciples as they were in such a mess out on the waters and in a storm. And the Lord just simply said, "Peace, be still." And then He says, "And make fat thy bones," to strengthen us. There are some things that I've gone through in my life that I really don't want to go through again. But these things that He allows us to go through is nothing more than called life. And in life, things happen. And yes, bad things happen to good people. But God takes the worst of situations in our life to strengthen us. That our faith is in Him and Him alone, and that faith would be increased. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, chapter 3 and verse 6 of Ephesians, says, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, the inner man. David writes in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalm 46, verse 1, he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble," or very present help in trouble. Solomon writing Proverbs, the collection here we find in 10, verse 29, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." The Lord shall guide thee continually is what he says. He will steer you. He will satisfy you if you'll just trust him. And you'll be able to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the Lord says in those dark days and those days when things aren't going well, when it's not still waters and it's not green pastures, he promised us that he would strengthen us as we go through those difficult things in our life. And then he says that he will notice, "Thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Notice this, "And thou shalt be like a watered garden." The Lord desires for us to have success in our life. The Lord desires that we grow in Him and be strengthened. But the Lord also desires that we have some peace, a peace that passeth all understanding. Would you go with me, please, to the Psalm once again, Psalm 1 and verse number 1. David writing this passage of Scripture is a wonderful text, Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." He says again, the Lord has promised us that he would give us success. We wonder about that sometime, what the Lord is doing. But we know that God is in charge of it all, and God has something in mind for us all. We find in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, that he will give you success. The Lord's promised us that as we trust him, that he'll not only sustain us, but as we walk by faith. By the way, we may not realize that success in this life, but when we get to heaven, we could sing that song, it'll be worth it all. Amen? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet every need that I have. Well, we all know the verse. From that of a teenager all the way through, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which" what? Strengtheneth me. And the Lord desires again to sustain us. He says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually." He will steer us, satisfy you, strengthen you, give you success. And then lastly, would you look at it in this passage of Scripture? The Bible says, "And like a spring of water whose waters fail not, he will sustain us." He will sustain us. I'm looking at a group of people tonight, and some more recently, that have gone through a dark valley. Some that have gone through some difficult days. But I'm glad that the Lord's grace is sufficient. And he reminds us, he says, "My grace is sufficient." God promises to sustain us and to strengthen us, even when we're going through those dark days of our life. Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5. And the Bible says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves." We ought to catch that. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. It matters not how long you've been a Christian. It matters not how long you've pastored a church. It matters not how many things you've gone through and all that God has done in your life. May I say, we haven't arrived. And none of us are sufficient within ourselves. It matters not of your talent, your degrees. It matters not of your ability. Understand this, we all have days when we feel like I can't do this by myself. And by the way, that's what God wants from all of us. Just to simply say, I cannot do this myself. But God can. Amen. And nothing is impossible with God. Would you say that with me? Nothing is impossible with God. It matters not what you're going through. It may be physical. It may be financial. It may be emotional. And certainly the spiritual. It matters not where you're at in your life and whatever problem. There's nothing impossible with God. And may I say, our sufficiency is not in ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God, 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. And the Bible says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Guide thee continually. What does he mean by that? Well, it's perpetual. It's not temporary. The Lord's going to guide us all the way through. Remember, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And the Bible says again, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Aren't you glad that God is in charge of our life? Tomorrow is Monday. God's given us a wonderful day on this Lord's Day. And tomorrow, the old devil, he'll come against you in some way. The devil is always fighting. Keep in mind, he's your adversary. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And may we cling to this text and knowing that God is able to meet every need. And the Bible says,